Welcome to The Living Waters, a daily source of inspiration and clarity from Scripture. Pastor Gary Finch connects God's Word to our everyday lives, helping us find strength, purpose, and peace in the gospel of Jesus. It's a journey into faith that will undoubtedly nourish your spirit and anchor your soul in the beauty of salvation found only in Christ. Now, our host, Gary Finch.
I'm going to try to change subject. I want to talk about a new covenant. I did a message a couple of weeks ago in my church. Now, Protestants, churches everywhere, I understand, disagree with me on this. I'll tell you, for close to 60 years, I disagreed with me on this. I have come to a different understanding. But a couple of weeks ago, I was asked, for the first time since I've been preaching in the Methodist church, to baptize an infant. I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of soul searching on this before they ask. I did some after they ask. I'm just going to talk a little bit about a new covenant. I'm going to read you this scripture to start with, and then I'm going to tell you where we at on this thing. I'm going to go to Luke 22, starting at verse 14. This has nothing to do with baptizing infants, but this is where we're going to start this thing. My subtitle says, The Lord's Supper. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus Christ talking. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19, And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This to do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of God goeth as I was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire amongst themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Let me read on a little further. And there was also strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Okay, here's Christ. This is my personal interpretation, okay? In the upper room on the last night before he was crucified, he desired to have the Passover meal with his followers. That was the old covenant. We need to remember Jesus Christ was born a Jewish baby. He was raised in a Jewish culture. He was a Jewish rabbi. And the commandments of the law and the covenant with Abraham, the Passover. So he had that last meal, the Passover meal with the apostles. And at the end of the meal, he closed the old covenant and opened and explained the new covenant to them with the bread and the wine, the blood and the body of Christ. And on the following morning, on the following afternoon, he would shed the blood for the new covenant. Now, if you like roast lamb and you like to celebrate the Passover, go ahead. But the new covenant is with Christ. Now, some things that are not in this scripture I read here, 12, 13 verses, okay? One thing I want you to note is he gave the elements of the new covenant to all 12 apostles, including the one in the room that he knew was going to betray him. And elsewhere he said the devil entered him. So in churches today, we have all these rules about who can take the Lord's Supper or communion. You've got to be a member of the church at this address, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. No, Jesus Christ gave these people that he sent out to establish his church communion. And he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. I've had people in my church tell me, you're supposed to do communion this way. You're supposed to do communion that way. You're supposed to do communion ever so often. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. So stop. I ask you to think about this and read this scripture and determine how you came up with who you're going to allow communion and who you're not going to allow communion, okay? So we are under a new covenant. And there is so much in the new covenant and the New Testament that is vital to the continuation and the growth of the church. And there's this little line in here that talks about the Gentile nations ruling over their people. And he tells these people as they go out to establish a church not to rule over people, but to serve people. My church was so shocked when I came to Walterboro and they started, and I said, look here, I didn't come over here to run this church. Y'all got this church under control. Y'all been running this church for 140 years. I didn't come over here to run this church. I'm going to try to teach you what the Word says. I'm going to try to encourage us all to move in the direction that it tells us to go. But I'm not going to make decisions on whether to buy a new air conditioner or what color flowers go in the sanctuary or who can come to communion, which is a Methodist tradition. We have an open table and everybody's invited. Okay, so under this new covenant, here's where I'm going. I told you about the infant. In the old covenant, before the Last Supper, as we call it, in the old covenant, if a child was born, male child, because in the Old Testament, males had much more importance in the family than the females did. I didn't set them rules either, okay? That's just the way it was. When a male child was born, on the eighth day of his life, they circumcised him and brought him into the covenant. He didn't understand the law. They would raise him in the law. They would teach him. And at some point, he would get old enough and understand and begin to follow the laws of the covenant and the understanding, okay? So why in the new covenant should I not bring a child in, baptize that child into the new covenant? And the ceremony says that what I'm doing is challenging the church and the parents to raise that child in the church and to teach him the scripture as he grows and to love and care for him and take care of him, not as Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village, but basically that simple idea. It takes a church to raise a godly child, and it takes parents that are committed to live a godly life in front of him. And in the ceremony, it says, until he is of age of understanding and makes a decision on his own to come in as a bona fide member of the church. So, circumcision was a sign of the old covenant that was put on the children. And in the new covenant, baptism is part of bringing them into the covenant, in my opinion, okay? Now, you can read through the New Testament in multiple cases, Lydia being one that when she heard Paul speak, her heart was opened and she accepted the word, and they baptized her whole household. Multiple times in the New Testament, you will find them baptizing the whole household. Okay? So, don't be so hard on me. I understand that that child can't make a decision for Christ. I understand that he's not accepted the plan of salvation. But we've acknowledged that he exists. And we want him in the new covenant with Christ. And we're going to try to raise him up in a way to do that. Okay? That's where I am. End of the new covenant discussion for me today.
That was Living Waters with Pastor Gary Fench, a daily dose of faith, clarity, and inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, keep seeking truth and walking in his light, and join us again tomorrow or log on to catch Pastor Gary's past episodes on WVFFradio.com. Thanks again for staying tuned to 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.